we welcome into the program Senator Mike Padden from Spokane Valley. Senator Padden, always appreciate the opportunities we have to speak with you. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, sir.
Oh, yes. Good to be on your show.
So, Senator Padden, talk to us a little bit about the release that came out today, yourself, Senators Gildan and Wagner, raising more alarm bells regarding DOC. We know, going back to, of course, one of two instances where inmates were released early under some poor stewardship. At the top of DOC, of course, the Blake decision is also rendering a situation where a number of inmates are going to be released early. What are we looking at with this, and what's the risk to public safety that is going to be presented in a number of communities because of these early releases?
Well, I think the threat to public safety is very real and exists all over our state. We've got a mix here. We've got the early release of these prisoners that the governor is now doing as a matter of policy. And you might recall 5 years ago when this happened, it was a big scandal. 3,000 were released inadvertently. Well, now the governor released over 1,000 during the height of COVID on purpose. And, of course, these folks, when they're out, a certain number of them commit new crimes. In 2016, we had a murder up here in Spokane and a victim named Caesar Medina. And we also had a Lindsay Hill who was killed over in Bellevue in a especially horrendous vehicular homicide by her violent-prone boyfriend. Both of those criminals were convicted and under the three strikes law are serving life in prison. So we have the early release, plus we have the last legislative session in which there were a number of bills that made more difficult for law enforcement. And they no longer can use neck restraints. I'm not talking about chokeholds, but neck restraints, which have proven to be an effective tool in which neither the alleged perpetrator or the law enforcement individual has been harmed or hurt. And we have had all sorts of evidence, evidence-based studies that were presented to the legislature, but they wanted to listen to the emotional efforts. The other thing that you mentioned, and while it has an impact on getting some people released from prison, it has even more, I think, of a impact on the homelessness problem and on the increase in street gang violence. And that's the legislature's response to the Blake decision. And of course, the court came out with that decision on February 25th and said that you couldn't have a per se violation, but just by possession of felony hard drugs, that you had to knowingly possess that. And that's all that it would have taken to correct the Supreme Court decision or make it viable so we could have felony drug possession laws on the books again. I introduced a bill to do that. A Democrat senator from Issaquah, Senator Mullet, introduced a bill. And for a while, it looked like there might be the votes in the Senate to do that. Instead, things went south in a hurry, and they ended up with a bill that our entire caucus, all 21 of us and two other members of the Democrat caucus, they opposed it for other reasons. But in any event, this decriminalized the possession of felony hard drugs for the first two offenses and says you can refer them for treatment, but there's no accountability. You don't have to know that they went to treatment. You don't even know they even consider going to treatment. And then after that, it's a misdemeanor, which is only 90 days in jail, up to maximum 90 days in jail and a $1,000 fine. Some prosecutors, especially on the West Side, won't even prosecute a misdemeanor for what was a felony drug conviction. So to me, that's a surrender on that issue by the legislature. And those things help increase gang violence and violent crime in general, which is up by a double-digit amount. So the combination of a number of questionable laws as far as public safety and the governor and the legislature letting these prisoners out early, and DOC is preparing to let up to another 3,000 out early. And so it's a bad, perfect storm for public safety.
We're talking with Senator Mike Patton from Spokane Valley here on the Bottom Line News Radio 610 KONA.
Senator Greg Neft with you here, and I wanted to ask you, for lack of a better term, and I'm listening to you talk, why are your colleagues so, for lack of a better term, pro-crime? I mean, just listening to it, they're giving away the store here. It's like, why even bother having a police force or laws to enforce? Because they're just simply not going to, they're going to look the other way.
Yeah, well, they see Department of Corrections, they see jails as major function, being kind of a human service agency for criminals. And how are we going to try and make their lives better? And while I certainly am not opposed to treatment, and I think certain type of therapeutic courts, I was a judge for a number of years, work, and those things are good. But this is going just way too far. But it's a completely different philosophy than anything I'm accustomed to, and really a number of them, I don't think I want criminal laws on the books.
Would you care to hazard a guess as to what Washington State's going to be like in about 6 months with all these criminals on the streets and police powers essentially curtailed to the level they are?
Yeah, well, it's going to be a lot worse, and we haven't even talked about the workforce issues with the governor's mandate to either get vaccinated or get fired. It's hit especially hard the State Patrol, Department of Corrections personnel, and I assume local law enforcement agencies. So they're going to have a greater percentage of their folks that do not want to be vaccinated, and presumably will get fired. That's what the governor has said. So in Seattle, they've already lost 300 of their 900 law enforcement officers and expect to lose up to 200 more. So it's really a bad situation. State Patrol, the legislature allocated money to fill these slots. They weren't able to do that, and now it appears you're going to be losing more personnel because of the mandate. And then their hands are kind of tied behind them. One mistake they made, they outlawed the use of 50 caliber shotguns, which were used for beanbags to disperse crowds. So there was an incident in Longview where law enforcement was trying to get a group of people, I believe, out of a drug house. And they had to resort, I mean, this is hard to believe, they had to resort to throwing rocks at the house to disperse the folks out of that house. So there's a number of issues on that, on the legislation we passed, some of which there'll be some minor corrections, but we really just need folks, be they Democrat or Republican, with a different makeup on the legislature. Like I said, our entire caucus, including all the folks from your area, Senator Schessler, Senator Brown, Senator Dozier, we all stuck together and voted against that decriminalization of hard felony drugs.
We're talking with Senator Mike Patton from Spokane Valley here on the Bottom Line. Senator Patton, I want to go back to the legislation for a minute, because it's my understanding that when a bill passes the House, it goes to the Senate for consideration and vice versa. Bill passes the Senate, goes to the House for consideration. It seems that when some of the members of the opposition party were asked about how some things got missed, for example, you cited the 50 caliber, and that's what the beanbag guns are, and I know that that's what KPD has, and so they can't use those because they're 50 caliber, even though they're non-lethal, that they didn't mean for that to happen. So how did these bills wind up crossing chambers and nobody spotted the inconsistencies, therefore allowing them to pass and allowing to create the confusion that we currently find?
Well, you've heard the old, saying that you don't want to see laws or sausage being made. I mean, people certainly make efforts to review that. A lot of attorneys on the committees, nonpartisan attorneys, and you have the partisan attorneys too, and individuals that look at it. But I would say they tried to do too much too quickly, and they missed some stuff. There wasn't proper evaluations. I don't think they listened to the opposition party, and I don't think they listened to law enforcement very well at least most of the law enforcement groups, like WACOPS and WASPIC, which are the sheriffs and police chiefs, and WACOPS are the rank and file. So I think that was a part of it. Some of those things, like I said, will get corrected in the next session, but some of the major issues, a lot of the law enforcement folks are very worried about being decertified, losing their career, and they've made it so much easier to do that. They've made it easier for private parties to sue law enforcement. They lost some of the legal protections they've had in the law for decades. So it was just, it was seemed like they were, I don't know, I'm sure they wouldn't say this, but it seemed like they were to some extent out to punish law enforcement.
It seemed like they were more focused on propping up the bill title than they were the substance of the bill.
Right. And what we have is a lot of the people are from Seattle or had that philosophy that were involved, with setting up that Chad zone. And of course, in that zone, when you left, they said, leave and go to another country. I mean, it's preposterous. But that sort of attitude, and not that law enforcement is perfect. We know that, and there are mistakes made. But I think a lot of these solutions are went way, way, way too far.
We're talking with Senator Mike Padden from Spokane Valley here on the Bottom Line News Radio 610 KONA.
And, Senator, are you worried? I mean, you speak of law enforcement and them being decertified, them not being able to have a job anymore. Is there a worry on your part that people are going to see this, younger generations are going to see this and say, I don't want to be a cop anymore. Why would I do that? Why? I mean, you need people to keep on filling these jobs in these kinds of ranks.
Well, absolutely. And you want to appeal to some of their best instincts. But I mean, up here in Spokane, the sheriff was offering large bonuses for lateral transfers, as much as $10,000 to $15,000, because of the shortage. So they filled some of those positions. But there's some in Seattle that I think are going to be almost impossible to fill completely. And we have problems with the state patrol. So, yes, it is part of the crisis. And we need to kind of reestablish a better atmosphere so law enforcement can do their job.
We're talking with Senator Mike Padden from Spokane Valley here on the Bottom Line News Radio 610 KONA. So the reports, Senator Padden, that you released today in concert with Senators Gildan and Wagner, this is a follow-up from the report 5 years ago that was in light of the Department of Corrections scandal. We know that it's been 40 years, roughly, since there's been a Republican in the governor's mansion. We know that this has become basically a culture at the executive level in Washington State, but it's kind of seemed to have gone on a significant downturn since about 2012. Where do we go from here? How does this get corrected? And it doesn't seem, based on the lack of action on the emergency powers, that your peers on the other side of the aisle are in any kind of rush to do anything to change it.
Well, other than a few of them have come forward, but certainly not the leadership. I mean, that was that resolution was one of the first things that passed during the 2021 session, right when we got there. And the governor's approaching 600 days of power that he's exercised without a meaningful consultation with the legislature. And you ask him about it, when's the emergency going to end? Of course, he says, well, why would you want to stop the person that won the Super Bowl for you? So, I mean, his concept is that he's the benevolent dictator, and he's doing what's best for us. And if you don't believe him, just ask him, you know. So, I mean, there is some of the people, some of the Democrats out on the Olympic Peninsula have been concerned, but certainly not enough to get the leadership in both the House and Senate to call a special session to deal with this. So we will bring it up again, as we did all last session, once we go into session. Now, whether there'll be a special session before January or not, I don't know. I kind of doubt it, but we'll see. But if not, when we come around to January, or some judge has got to say there's no longer an emergency, and that hasn't happened yet. But you talk about the length of Democrat governor, and of course most of the Superior Court judges are appointed by the governor. There's some that let their terms run out and there's an election, but that is rare. I would say 75% or more get their position by appointment from the governor. So that makes it tough.
Senator Pat, we just have a few moments left. We know what the climate is here regarding the governor's mandates and us seeming to be going backwards, even though we were told that the vaccine was winning the Super Bowl, quote unquote. What's the pulse in your area in Spokane Valley with the going backwards?
Yeah, I think it's probably fairly similar to the Tri-Cities. And, you know, we have concerns. We've had some pretty raucous school board meetings that citizens have been concerned about some of the mandates. And I've just suggested, I mean, for a while, he was trying incentives. I think incentives in education work better than ordering people to do things, and that's under threat of being fired, and I think there's also been some bullying going on and trying to require people to get the vaccination against their will. So it's fairly hostile in my area to what the governor has been trying to do. And you know, they spent all that money for the lottery. They could have just, you know, used that money and paid people if they wanted to. Say, hey, if you get a vaccination, we'll give you $50. I mean, whether I'm not anti-vax, but I'm anti not having a choice in it. And I hope this turns around at some point. The alternative for a lot of people in my area is moving to Idaho.
Yeah, actually, you've seen that here, too, believe it or not. Senator Patton, we always appreciate your time, sir. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
Great being with you guys. Thanks so much.